Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. In September of 1999, a Cambodian pastor wanted to carry the good news of the gospel to the northern part of Cambodia, to an area, to his knowledge, had never been touched with the good news of Jesus. When he got there, he was amazed at this community that was primarily worshiped Buddha and ancestry worship. And whenever he got there, he was amazed at when he began to preach the gospel, nearly everyone came to Christ. Taken back by this, he asked them, "How is it that you are so receptive to the gospel?" And they said, "We have been waiting 20 years for you to come." And he said, "You've been waiting on 20 years for me?" They said, "We've been waiting 20 years for someone like you to come and tell us the good news." He said, "I don't understand." And this older lady emerged from the crowd, and she said, "In 1979, when this communist regime, a terrorist splinter group, communist regime, began to come in and take over in Korea, when they finished in the larger cities with their reign of terror, they began to move into the little villages and the remote areas of Cambodia. One day they showed up at our little village, and they began to order everyone out of their homes. Some people were shot right in front of their homes. The rest were ordered to go to this clearing in the behind the village there and take their tools and begin to dig. And they were digging, they were ordered to dig this large pit. As they dug the pit, they began to realize they were digging their own grave. Some of them tried to escape and were shot. The others continued to dig. Finally, they were ordered to stop and lay down their implements and face the pit, to which they did. And they realized that they were about to be bludgeoned to death with the tools that they had dug their own grave with. And they began to call out to their gods. They began to call out to their ancestors that they worshiped. They began to call out to Buddha. And then finally, one voice of a lady began to call out on something that her mother had taught her as a little child. She began to call out to the God who hung on a cross. And as she began to call out, the others around the pit began to call out to the God who hung on a cross. Surely a God who hung on a cross could have some empathy for them and what was about to take place. And as they continued to call out in one voice, silence began to overwhelm the place, and one by one they began to turn around and look, and the terrorists were gone. And they said, "And we have been waiting 20 years for someone to come and tell us about this God who hung on the cross." I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. If there is nothing else that I believe in, if there's nothing else that I could believe in, I believe in Jesus. And I believe that he died on the cross for my sin. And because I believe in Jesus, and I believe that God so loved the world that he gave, and that Jesus came to this world giving, I believe in giving. And I believe in giving in every way that I can, every time I can, with everything that I have. I believe in giving. There are times in my life when I've looked at Dana and said, we are prospering too much. And we need to give some of this. And there have been times in our lives when things have just been going difficult, and I would look at Dana, or she would look at me, and she'd say, maybe we need to give some more to the Lord's work above what we were giving. We quit tithing a long time ago. I mean, we saw how great it was to tithe, and we just quit doing that and just continued to give beyond that. And it is amazing how God has prospered our lives. You know, whenever Dana retired about 4 years ago, we didn't change our giving, though her salary was cut in half. And to our amazement, we've been able to even increase that. And I want to tell you, some of you that know me, and we're personal friends, you know how God is blessed. You cannot outgive him, folks. Look at God's word with me this morning. My son, verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Jesus taught. And it was the Apostle Paul in Acts that recorded and spoke these words, repeating what Jesus had taught, and so it had been passed down to him because Paul's encounter with Jesus was on the Damascus Road. It wasn't like the other apostles who had been with Jesus and had heard his teachings. Here was something that was so strong that Jesus said that the Apostle Paul heard it, remembered it, and recorded it, and reported it. And Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than it is receive. Emory University did a study. They wanted to know why people felt good whenever they helped someone. And as they began to examined people, and they took blood work from people whenever they did every kind of study, and they came back and found out that when you or I help someone, when we give to a cause, when we give of ourselves, when we give of our possessions, and let me put it in biblical terms, this wasn't in their report, when we are rightly related to God with our possessions, when you get saved, if God didn't save you all the way to your pocketbook or your purse, I want to ask you something. Did you really get saved? Because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than it is receive. And so Emory University found out that there are certain chemicals released in the brain that actually give you a literal emotional high whenever we give, and they nicknamed it Helper's High. Now, there are those of you here in this room that have said, Brother Danny, if you need a testimony on giving, you just let me know. But there are a number of you in here that have shared with me how you just didn't, you just don't believe in that tithing thing and all. And have come back and said, you know what? I can't believe I waited so long to get involved in giving to the Lord. I want to share with you these things this morning on I believe in Jesus and I believe in giving. It involves trust. It involves trust. I have a saying that in a dark moment of my life, God brought it to me. And I looked over at Dana from my chair there in the living room, and I looked over at her, and I still remember doing this. And I said, I trust God. From this day forward, Dana, I am going to trust God. I trust God. Now, I invite you to let that become your saying and your motto, that you trust God, that you could say from your heart right now, I trust God. And there have been many a time in my life that I've had to remind myself of that, or the Holy Spirit has said, hey, Danny, remember your saying, trust God, trust God. Ran across something, and this is why I trust God. Just because it doesn't make sense to you or me doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. Got that? Has your father or your mother ever said or told you to do something, students, and it didn't make sense to you? Have you ever even made the mistake of saying, that just doesn't make sense. And when you woke up, it really didn't matter whether it made sense to you or not. Well, what is also amazing is how whenever we trust God, even when it doesn't make sense to us, it makes sense once mission is accomplished. I trust God. And you know what trust does? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Have you ever been going somewhere and you're not sure you're on the right road? And you pulled out your smartphone, and it was what got you in trouble in the first place because the smartphone was messed up. And you know what you did? You eventually did what is not the man thing to do. You called somebody. And perhaps you called the place you were going and said, I can't find you. I can't find you. I couldn't find where I was going this last Wednesday. I was going there to meet Enrique and Isabel, and they're over there in Aldine, and so I got Enrique on the phone, and anyway, by talking to him, I found out exactly where I needed to be, and I was able to park my truck and walk up the ramp on one side as he was walking up the ramp on the other side. And that felt good to know that I was at the right place and that I wasn't going to have to turn around and go somewhere else. And all your ways direct your path. Do you know what trust will do for you? It'll give you joy. It'll give you joy. Now, I don't mean you're always going to go around ha, 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 and you're always just laughing about everything. It's going to give you a joy. It's going to put a smile on your face in the midst of sadness. You lose a loved one, and there's tears in your eyes, but there's joy in your heart because you know where that loved one is because they knew Jesus, and you trust God. I trust God. And joy You know, faith and trust are the same thing. So joy comes from faith. And you say, Brother Dan, I'm having trouble with my faith. Well, if you're having trouble with your faith, try repentance. That might be the problem. There might be that, you know, you're not having faith in God because there's unconfessed sin in your life. And you confess that sin to the Lord, and then things are good between you and the Lord. Trust. And then I invite you to tithe. I invite you to tithe. I invite you to at least start there. Don't work your way up there. I invite you to do what the Bible says about it, to trust the Lord. Trust me, try me, prove me, says the Lord. I invite you parents to teach your children right now when they earn a dollar to give a dime to the Lord. That was something my parents taught me. I shared with you not long ago. I used to get 25 cents for mowing an acre of yard with a push mower. And some of you kids in here don't even know what a push mower is, much less what 25 cents is. I'd have to mow 2 yards so I could come up with a nickel. It was hard to pay 2.5 cents. Of course, my daddy and mother would always just teach me to round up. Round it up. I invite you to do that. I want to share with you that, first of all, when it comes to the tithe, that involves honesty. Honesty. Let me ask you to ask. I'm going to say something right now. What are you going to do, fire me? I'm going to ask you kids to turn and ask your parents, if everybody gave like you and mother gave, could we keep the lights on? Go ahead. Now, some of you are thinking, I never did really like you, Brother Danny. But you know what you can say to them? You can say something to the effect of what is going to begin happening right now in your life. You can respond to them and say, from this day forward, we'll be able to keep the lights on. But it's more than just keeping the lights on. It's about keeping the light on in your heart. Honestly, listen, folks, there's never been a meeting in heaven where the angels came and said, Lord, the offerings didn't come in this month. How are we going to pay the bills? Can you think of that? Just imagine that. Has there ever been a meeting? No. But I want to tell you what. There has been some meetings in heaven whenever you couldn't pay your bills. And you had no problem going to God about that, did you? And it may be that you can't pay your bills because you haven't been honest with God about where you stand. The Bible teaches us about the tithe that there is to be honesty and that there is to, as you look at that passage, that there is to be honor involved in it. Honor. We're honoring God. Now, I want you to think about this. Have you ever given something to someone and they acted like, okay, well, I'll take that, but, you know, no big deal. And have you ever had somebody just turn down a gift that you've tried to give them because they just really didn't care about your gift? You know what God has said? That He invites us. God's Word says He invites us to give and to enjoy it. Tithing, because giving is what you do after you give the tithe. Tithing is not tithing if you're not happy about doing it. Any more than Mike, I forgive you. I don't want to, but I forgive you. That's not really forgiveness, is it? Not, I'm just picking on Mike. There's no problem that I know of. But anyway, forgiveness, whenever we say, but I really don't want to, is not really forgiveness, is it? Lord, I repent of my sins. I don't really want to. Have you really repented? And listen, friends, tithing, when you really don't want to, is not tithing, because tithing is something that is intended to honor God, because you are in awe that He would accept your offering. And don't miss that joy. Listen, tithing is not God's way of raising money. It's His way of growing you and me. If you don't hear anything else, hear that. It's not God's way of raising money. It's His way of growing you and me. And you will always find that you will go much farther with 90% and God than you'll ever go with 100% and not Him. Like, we could just line people up here that could share with you about it. I want you to think with me about the history of it, because there are those who say, I'm a New Testament believer, and the New Testament does not teach tithing. Well, I beg to differ with you on that. But I will say this to you before we even go into the history of it, that if I'm wrong about it, there sure has been a lot of good that's come about from it that you can't argue with. And that giving to the Lord is just one of the greatest joys. And now let me just ask you this. What if you believe, I don't have to give at all, and everybody believed that way? You wouldn't. If you and I were gathered here today, we wouldn't have anything to sit in. We wouldn't have any place to say, Lord, this is what we think of you. And this is a tribute to you. It's not a tribute to us. I want you to think with me about the history of it. The Bible teaches us that Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, came, and the Bible says that the Lord accepted, they came with their offerings, and the Bible says that the Lord did not accept Cain's offering, but He did accept Abel's offering. Now, why was that? And if you look at the passage of Scripture closely, you will find that some people think, well, Abel brought an offering from the animals, and Cain brought it from the field. No, that's not the problem. The problem is that the Scripture teaches us that Abel brought from the first fruits. As soon as God blessed, he took of that blessing and offered it back to God and recognized the blessing came from him. The Bible says of Cain that he gave of some of what the field yielded, not the first fruits. So he really wasn't recognizing and honoring God. And then the Bible tells us about a man by the name of Abraham, who, after a battle, that Melchizedek showed up. And after the battle, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And then in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now catch this. This is important for us to hear. Melchizedek is the only person in the Old Testament who was both a king and a priest. No one else was that. In the New Testament, Jesus is said he is after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus was what? He is our high priest, and he is also what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you see a pattern developing there? And so Abraham offered tithes. Jacob, his relative, offered tithes to the Lord. Along came Moses, and Moses, the lawgiver. So catch this. Giving, tithing came, and giving of the first fruits came long before the law, because a lot of people argue as, quote, New Testament believers, well, I'm no longer under the law. Listen, friends, giving and tithing to the Lord came long before the law ever came about. But whenever Moses was instructed by the Holy Spirit to write the law, Moses put in tithing into the law. And then we have Malachi, who came and wrote, that you have robbed God. And they said, how have we robbed God? And he said, in tithes and offerings you have robbed him. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you that you won't be able to hold. And he says, and in addition to that, I will rebuke the devourer. And then Jesus comes along. And Jesus said to the Pharisees one day, with all of his disciples there, you give your tithes and offerings and you do well. This also ought you do. And Jesus said, remember what I said at the beginning of the sermon? It is more blessed to give than it is receive. So, Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Malachi commanded it. Jesus commended it. Who are you to cancel it? I want you to think with me about one more thing here. As we have talked about trusting and tithing, I want you to think with me about thriving. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Only by giving am I able to receive more than I already have. I want to invite you to personalize that just like I did. Now just repeat it from your heart. Only by giving am I able to receive more than I already have. You want to thrive? Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. It is what you and I sow that multiplies, not what we have in our barns. You have heard me stand here years and years and encourage you to pay off the debt on the church. I want to encourage you to continue to do that, but I want to challenge you to do something this year. I want to challenge you to join me in giving $25,000 to world missions, that we as a church here on Old River would say that we believe in Jesus beyond our borders, and that all you have to do is just mark it. Now let me tell you something. You say, well, okay, I'll just give my tithe to that. Then you've messed up and you didn't obey God. The tithe is to go into the storehouse, and this is the storehouse. And the Bible teaches us then that we have the opportunity to give in addition to that. And we have got to be a people that have a concern for the lost of the nations. I invite you to dig into your storehouse, into your barns, and I invite you to join me in giving generously. And before this year is up, that we give, starting today, 1st of May, that we give $25,000 in addition to what we already send to our cooperative program through the church year, through the church general budget. I invite you to join me in doing that, because it is by sowing that we increase, not by holding in our barns that we increase. I don't want to give you the wrong impression that tithing will save you. It is Jesus who saves. I don't want to give you the impression that tithing will save you any more than it will sweeten the water in the well by painting the pump. And that's what a lot of people have done these days. I've tried to be good and get the outside looking better, and what's inside is still rotten. I want to invite you, as you stand, that from this day forward, you're going to say, I trust God. And for those who had to leave out early for whatever reason, they're not going to hear the most important point that I wanted to say this morning. I invite you to live your life as though Jesus died yesterday, that he rose this morning and he is coming back this afternoon. Would you bow in prayer?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.